The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, lots and lots and lots happening in Israel, is there not?
There is a lot happening in Israel, as there is around the world, a lot to talk about today. I think we are all watching the events in Afghanistan in absolute horror, and many of us are at a loss of words for the unfolding humanitarian and human disaster and tragedy that is happening. Some of the sites, some of the footage coming in from Kabul today has been absolutely shattering, heartbreaking. I don't think many of us, and especially those of us who were around during the 9/11 terror attacks, can forget the images today of the Afghanis clinging to those aeroplanes and falling off as those planes gain altitude. To me, it reminds me of that horrendous day in September 2001, when people literally had to make the choice of jumping from flaming towers or incinerating. It is just absolutely shattering. But does it also have impact on Israel? And it certainly looks that way. Earlier today, a rocket was fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel. We don't know who has claimed responsibility yet. What we do know is that the Iron Dome defense systems intercepted this. This was over the city or the town of Sderot in the south, which is about a kilometer away from Gaza. And this effectively breaks the ceasefire that has been in place since the end of Mitzah Shomer Chomot operation, Guardians of the Wall, that happened in May, just a couple of months earlier this year.
Ro, that's interesting, because there were reports stating that this was going to happen because of the Qatari money. I seem to be understanding that you're drawing a linkage with maybe emboldened Hamas, given what's happening in Afghanistan. Do you want to perhaps unpack those two issues for us?
Well, I wouldn't dismiss the Qatari money, but I do think very much that terror groups have been absolutely emboldened by what they are seeing in Kabul. In fact, we had congratulations to the Taliban coming from Hamas. Very, very coincidentally, the leaders of the Taliban and Hamas met in Qatar just very, very recently. And today, another statement coming from the terror group saying that Hamas blesses the Afghani Muslim nation for the fall of the American occupation in all Afghani territory. The Taliban are victorious today after being accused of backwardness and terrorism. They emerged today as a smarter and more realistic movement. They confronted America and its agents and refused to compromise with them. They were not deceived by bright headlines about democracy and elections. This is a lesson for all oppressed peoples. Will they learn the moral of the story? Those are very, very belligerent words, kind of couched in congratulations to the Taliban, coming from Hamas. This is a senior Hamas official, Musa Abu Marzouk. He has drawn a parallel in the statement between what he sees as the Taliban's fight against the American-backed Afghani government, the allied forces that were stationed in Afghanistan, and what they see as their resistance to Israel. Now, anybody who was demonstrating in the streets just several months ago, calling Hamas resistance fighters and drawing a moral equivalent, but now expressing their outrage with the events in Kabul, please go and look at the statement from Hamas. If you still think that Hamas is a legitimate resistance fighting movement, you need to let these words sink in, and sink in hard, because the human tragedy that is going to follow this is absolutely catastrophic, not just for the many translators, those innocent Afghanis who have been working with American, British and other allied forces on the ground, literally forming a buffer between the Taliban and these troops, and the future for the women, the young girls in Afghanistan is absolutely unbearable. And you can only draw a parallel between the Taliban and Hamas and other terror groups just by looking at the rhetoric coming out.
Rolene, ex-ambassador to South Africa Arthur Lenk was quoted in the Algemeine today as saying there are very important lessons for Israel in this development, i.e. Israel can only rely on itself. Not saying America isn't its great friend, but when all the chips are down, Israel has to stand on Israel's own 2 feet. Your comment to that?
Well, this is something that we've been saying for a number of years. We're looking at the Biden administration's willingness to get back into the nuclear treaty agreement with Iran. Now, this has demonstrated, and I know there are many opinions and there will be many hours and reams of column space devoted to debating this very, very issue. And I think we need to watch what is going to happen before we weigh in on which administration is responsible for this. You know, people have drawn a parallel between the speed of which this has happened to that of the Americans pulling out of Saigon during the Vietnam War. It's going to be very, very interesting to hear what President Joe Biden will be saying a little later today. He's speaking at 3:45 Eastern Standard Time. I think I'll leave it to you to work out the time differences with South Africa. But it has become apparent that America is now seen as feckless, having no ability to stand up to the Taliban, also for not listening to the advice of the many in the military establishment who warned that the Taliban are in possession of military equipment and that they are gaining momentum and that they are amassing and that they do have the ability to just trundle over Afghani troops. And this has sent a big wake-up call. Can we trust that America, other allied powers, will be strong enough to deal with Iran? Iran, one of three countries, the other two being Russia and China, who have said that they will recognize the legitimacy of a Taliban government. This is what the Taliban wants. They want international legitimacy. And Israel, the lesson in this is that this has been a massive, massive failure over the last 48 hours for the Americans, for the Biden administration, and we're going to have to rely on our own strengths moving forward.
Sobering indeed. Let's move on to the second story this afternoon, which is that of the diplomatic spat between Poland and Israel, seemingly the issue worsening.
The issue is worsening, and we've had a very distressing update within the last hour or so. The Polish Deputy Foreign Minister Paweł Jabłoński saying that Poland is now examining whether or not to continue allowing the annual Holocaust education trips, which young Israelis from high school visit Nazi death camps. He said, and I'm going to quote him verbatim, he says the trips do not take place in a proper manner. They sometimes instill hatred for Poland in the heads of young Israelis. We will make the right decisions about these trips. We will deal with anti-Polish sentiment in Israel. And one of the reasons for this is the way in which Israeli youth are educated and raised. This to me is absolutely obscene.
Shocked.
This is obscene. This is coming from a country that, despite international pressure and massive pressure from Israel, last week you and I have spoke about it. We've been covering how this has played out. We have spoken about how the law passed last week and now on Saturday was signed into legislation by President Duda, the President of Poland, that restitution will not be given to Holocaust survivors or people who lost their property during the communist takeover. This has widened a diplomatic spat between the two countries. Our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, telling the ambassador to Poland he can stay in Poland on vacation. Just literally 10 minutes ago, Israel's foreign ministry, Poland's foreign ministry have said that the Polish ambassador to Israel will remain in Warsaw for the time being, and his deputy will not be dispatched to Tel Aviv either. Israel have recalled our chargé d'affaires for consultations. How long this will take, we don't know. We've had both of our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, as well as the prime minister, Naftali Bennett, both weighing in, giving their commentary on this legislation on Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat, after Shabbat. The foreign minister calling it anti-democratic, the prime minister calling it an absolute disgrace and disregard for the memory of the Holocaust. We cannot forget, first of all, how complicit Poland was in the Shoah, and we cannot forget that several concentration and death camps, the most notorious of all of them being Auschwitz, is on Polish soil. It's a massive cemetery for the Jews of Europe, and just by sheer size, the largest Jewish community of Europe before the Holocaust was in Poland, and this is just literally disintegrating by the minute.
So I think you have just committed a crime in Poland by talking about Polish complicity. I'm going to join you in that crime by saying it wasn't good enough that 3 million Poles, Jewish Poles, died or were killed, but rather they killed them when they went back after the Holocaust to go back to their homes. There's something very unresolved in the Polish nation about their guilt and their participation in the Holocaust, really.
Absolutely. And I would go even further to say it's not just unresolved, it's sinister. It's obscene. And I use that word with absolute intention. This is obscene. And as you so correctly said, it was not enough that they were just Jewish. They were also Polish citizens. And these Polish Jewish citizens endured pogrom after pogrom, after the most unspeakable horror that they endured.
Rolene Marks, see what happens. We even crossed you early and there isn't enough time with that. We're going to leave it there this afternoon. Let's talk about the fires in Jerusalem, serious fires at that, tomorrow. Thank you for that important discussion this afternoon.
We'll speak again tomorrow.